One of the greatest ever humans on the planet is Andrew Gaze. And yesterday he told the world at the end of this NBL season with his role as coach of the Sydney Kings, he'll be coming back home to Melbourne. And we wanted to find out what is going on in his world, let alone have a chat to him because he's awesome. Gazey, good morning to you.
Hey, Daniel, son. Very, very good morning to you, my friend. And congratulations on your first win. It's extraordinary when you're 0-2 and then you win a game and all of a sudden you're on top of the ladder and you are doing some spectacular things.
It's not easy. It's not easy doing that sort of stuff, Gazey, creating history.
No, very interesting stuff. But if you want to do it, you can do it, my friend.
I appreciate that. And well done to you in getting the Kings to the finals this year. You got a big series coming up against Melbourne United, which we will get to. But yesterday you made the announcement that you're coming home. It's time for you to get back with the family. How long have you been thinking about this, Andrew?
Well, we had the conversation with the owners and the board probably about 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. We came to the resolution that that it's probably best that we move in different directions. But no, it's all good. They were keen to go through a process to find out who the best candidate would be for the head coaching position next season. And at the time, I said to them, I said, listen, based on my feelings at the time, I just felt that it was perhaps they did that without me because I was concerned about getting home and spending some time with my family as they grow up very quickly. And I haven't been there very often the last 3 years.
So did it disappoint you at all, the way that that conversation unfolded?
Oh, it's a difficult conversation to have, but I'm really fortunate to have a unbelievably transparent and really good relationship, in particular with the management group and the owners. So they're always awkward conversations, but I guess relatively speaking, it was a pretty good one because I was really keen to get back home and see my family. I mean, it would have been nice to sort of wait until we finished the season, completed everything, and then sort of gone through it because you can change. But I was really comfortable with it, and it sort of the shackles were off after that, and it gave me great peace of mind.
Gazey, the timing of the announcement you just mentioned then about whether you would wait to the end of the season and go through that process. Is there something that kind of instigated the announcement now rather than holding it off, or is that just, that's just where it was decided to happen?
No, you're absolutely right. The plan was, the management at the time were really keen and encouraging me they thought it was appropriate to make the announcement at that particular time. And I thought that was absolutely the wrong decision to do. And fortunately, like I said, we have a great relationship and they said, rightio, no worries, we'll take your advice and we'll move forward. But then what happened, it's like everything, as soon as two people know something, it's no longer a secret. And things get out, there's conversations had, and there are a lot of rumours bouncing around. And I think it also allowed the club to do two things. Is one, be really open and transparent with the rest of the playing group. And also, there's less, in this business, finding alternatives and planning for the future can always be difficult to do if there's a belief that you're not ethically going about that particular process. So I think it also helps the management and the administration go about their business of finding alternatives and planning for the future without necessarily a fear of being perceived as going behind people's backs and those types of things. So I think for both the management and the players and myself that it was, there was a feeling that it was the right time. And like they said, well, they were keen to do that 5 or 6 weeks ago, but right now it seemed like a much better time now that the regular season had finished.
I know you've still got a final series to go, but when you look back on your 3 years, how would you describe yourself as a coach?
I'd describe myself as passionate, hardworking, determined, and one that I guess has learned a lot. I think that coaching is one where many people would have the ability to figure out the X's and O's, just to understand trying to put people in positions where they can exploit their skills is not easy, but it's something that a lot of people can do. But the difference, I think, is the relationships you build and how in which you manage certain circumstances. And I haven't always done that well, and have learned a lot and tried to surround myself with people where you sort of recognise your deficiencies, and you try and put in place some people and a structure that can cater for some of those deficiencies, and you can help each other out. So I think I've personally gotten a whole lot better at that, and there's no doubt the organisation and the club as a whole has really grown in that area as well.
Has it been easier, harder about what you thought when you first took over, when you look back at the 3 years?
No, it's kind of as I thought it would be. I've done a lot of coaching since retiring, and although it's not at the highest level, the problems and the challenges are very much the same. That when you're dealing with younger players, you're teaching technique, and the way in which you put points of emphasis on certain things is a lot different. But as far as the overall challenges that you face, they're very, very similar. So I felt really prepared and well armed for starting this challenge, and really, really enjoyed the experience. And as I said, learned a hell of a lot about the coaching caper and the requirements.
Gazy, since you've finished playing, you've spent a lot of time in the media these last 3 years, particularly at the high level of coaching. Which do you prefer?
Well, they're both really a lot of fun. And I guess this one, coaching, you get a real thrill out of it when you see progress, you see you're making a contribution, you're helping others, and your competitive juices are stimulated. And it's fantastic. It's the reason why you love the game, and sharing that experience in a team environment, there's nothing better in the world, I would say. But fair to say, making a goose out of yourself and being a clown on television or on radio is a hell of a lot easier and a whole lot less responsibility than coaching a major sporting organisation.
There's no doubt about that, Andrew. There is no doubt about that. Hey, can I ask you before that you go, just on the games coming up against Melbourne United in the semi-final series, you've had no luck against United this campaign so far. What do you have to do differently to beat them?
Well, excuse me, our last game we got the W, my friend.
Yeah, so, the series. You've lost the series against them through the year.
Oh, yeah, we lost the series. No, but in that series, three out of the four games, I always like the glass half full, my friend, and we're coming off a win. That's how I'm trying to look at it. But no, they were really competitive series. They were, a lot of them, the first three games, a lot of them were real defensive slugs, and we were in really winnable positions in two of those three, and then fortunately our last one, the shackles came off a little bit, and we were able to put some points on the board, and we got a win. So, I hear what you're saying with the 3-1 difference, and if you have a look at the record over the past 3 years, it's abysmal. We've only won twice since I've been at the Chamber against Melbourne United, but we're not focusing on that, Danielson. I'm sure you appreciate this as a head coach yourself. We tend to try and get the boys up and about, not bring them down with some of the shortcomings of the past.
Well, surely getting them up and about has been helped with your recruitment of Andrew Bogut, Big Bogey.
Yes.
What was going on with him sending someone else up to accept an award?
Yes.
What's going on? Surely you've got more influence over Big Bogey.
Well, I did not know that was happening. I was on a different table, and I thought, good Lord, what is going on here? And it was something that was a little bit different. I think that they got inspiration from Will Ferrell did a acceptance speech for someone else, and it was probably, Will probably pulled it off a little bit better than Dane, but nevertheless, it was still something that some of us got a chuckle at, but perhaps in hindsight, they'd probably rethink that again.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's good for business as far as I'm concerned. Gazy, we've got to get moving, but we wish you the best of luck. Even though it's against our Melbourne United boys, we wish you the best of luck with the Kings through the NBL Finals campaign, and congratulations on what you've done with that franchise in the last 3 years. Look forward to seeing more of you in Melbourne town.
Oh, I can't wait. And good luck to you guys. I don't know what you're doing, but Daniel's son, you go get him. And all the very best. And if it's a flag or bust, I believe the terminology around the Blues. Flag or bust.
Can't argue with that. Good stuff, Gazy. Good luck.
See you, mate. Thanks.
Andrew Gaze, coach of the Sydney Kings, standing down at the end of the season. It is news time. Johnny Bowden's ready to roll.